recording. Hi everybody. Let's add some little worship there. That was really good. How is everybody? I hope everybody's safe and well and good. Oh, Holy Spirit. They will fight against you, but they will not prevail, says the Lord. For I am with you and I will deliver you. Priorities straight, hey. Don't you think, church? Hello? Can anybody hear me out there? Our priorities need to be straight. Hey, God did this with my life. I did not do this to my life. God did this to my life. If you want this for your life, just ask him and he will do it too. Instead of trying to judge everybody according to your own opinions and your own evil and wicked heart. I mean, you can tell. He says, how will you know that? Look, the first thing God's going to do in you is he's going to develop fruit in you. He will teach you his ways. He will reveal the enemy to you. And I'm telling you, that enemy is everywhere and in the church and in Christians. There's jealousy, there's bitterness, there's evil. I mean, people just want positions and titles and leaderships, and as soon as you start to even mention money or a title, they'll manifest at you like as if you're a devil. And they don't even know God. They don't even know. Did they even marry him? Do they even sleep in his bed? He'll take you, he'll show you, he'll teach you. I mean, and as soon as you start to stand for something, or hell will break loose around you, right? And that's just how it all works. And God will teach you. He will teach you his ways. If you're married to Jesus, nothing can affect you. Nobody can take you out. You won't go anywhere because Jesus is your king. Right? You are in love with Jesus. He is your husband. You don't go chasing after anything else. There's no idols. There's no other people. You can tell somebody's heart that's after Jesus. You can tell somebody who's married to the Lord. Their life is the fruit of it. Their life is a testimony. They live for the King. They've surrendered their whole life and this is how they overcome. It doesn't mean you don't have attacks. It doesn't mean that the demonic don't want to take you out. I mean, if you're really standing, they don't want you to stand. They'll let you have a little bit of Christianity. They'll let you have a little bit of this, a little bit of that, as long as you're not actually making a stand and actually impacting something. But if you're impacting, I mean, most people they care about, like, it's not about having a following. It's not about out there trying to, you know, get your voice inside of people so they can, you know, give their lives to Jesus. I mean, all of that's just dead works and it's strange fire. It's not honoring God. I mean, if your voice, if the Holy Spirit's literally using you, it doesn't matter who's watching or who's listening. Your words go out and they're performed. You don't need people to hear it. You don't need people to hear it. God just uses you and he speaks through you and those words go ahead and they're done. You can see they believe, they give more power to the devil than they do to God. Like, they literally think the devil has control over things. But he has no control. God is the sovereign Lord. He has all power. He will do what he wants, how he wants, when he wants, and use whoever the hell he wants to use, whether you like it or not. It's got nothing to do with you. This is God's kingdom. The kingdom of God. Coming through whoever the hell he wants it to come through. Your opinions mean diddly squat to God. He's all God cares about is being married to the bride. He wants his bride. Go and get my bride. The bride of Christ who loves him. Not loves the gifts, not loves the, you know, he's like you. He hates a lying tongue. He hates liars. He can't lie. It's God. He can't lie. And if God hates something, then you're meant to hate it. And it's not. You know what? It's just about loving God. And being married. Being married to Jesus, but people don't want that. They're not broken enough, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't grow up in a church. I don't know churchianity. We just be led by the Holy Spirit. Totally, completely let Him use and give your body and be totally broken, right? And you'll be caught up in the air with Jesus. That's what it says, right? You'll be caught away. There's a catching away of who? The bride. The bride is caught away. You're taken up into the air with Jesus, right? You meet Jesus in the air. And there's a catching away of the bride. Who's the bride? The bride is who has married her bridegroom, who has fallen in love head over heels, devotionally, emotionally, completely and utterly in love with this Jesus, her Jesus. And she just loves him. That's who the bride is. She absolutely loves her Jesus. Doesn't care about power, doesn't care about control, doesn't care about the devil, doesn't care about finding everybody's sin and bringing it to the surface. She loves her Jesus, and she'll just speak the words of her God, and if those words reveal things, then those words reveal things. They reveal sin. Of course they reveal sin. Of course they reveal darkness and wickedness, but it's the word of God that does that. Not your own opinion. Not your own mind. Can't possibly do that. And someone will say, oh, well, that's discernment. No. Love. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. And the bride is so messed up. What does Jezebel do? She leads them away into the works of the flesh. She hides. Jezebel hides. She's a hider. So much wickedness and deception through the entire Christianity, mostly the glory and the charismatic stream. They are that. There is, you know why? Because they think that they've got the glory or whatever they call it, the glory, Jesus, you know, the anointing, the insight, they think they're a seer because they dream. Whatever, they pretty much like have just married the gifts, right? And they haven't married the heart of Jesus. They've married the gifts, and that has puffed them up to the point where they think they have such incredible wisdom and insight that their words need to be spoken into every single life. So let's create a billion accounts and put our spirit inside of every single person. And rape them in their sleep. You know, that's an abomination. And it's going to be wiped off the earth. I'm telling you right now, I promise you that. I promise you that. On your life, I promise you that. It's going to be destroyed and demolished and wiped out. If you don't stop it, you will be destroyed because of it. I promise. promise you. Because you're wrong. And for 7 years, people have been going around and they've been delivered over the whole 7 years. So 7 years ago, they were in deception, more deception than what they're in today. But what they were putting on people 7 years ago has influenced their walk and hurt them because of their pride, where they think that they're right, but they're not right. Businesses, right? I mean, you're gonna lose funds. Now you can't walk away from it. What makes you any different to the lying church? It's both of you. It's becoming the same thing. Stop doing it. Just go and love people the hard way outside and talk to them in the gutters instead of trying to be some hierarchy angel flying through the atmosphere, saving every single soul you see because you're so powerful, because you can dream. Dreaming is the lowest form of prophecy. Did you know that? It's the lowest form. And do you know, and what does it say in Matthew? That Satan comes and he sows his tares while they sleep. Don't judge what you don't understand. You don't know the motives of everybody's heart. You know when you see in parts. Stop being like you're the hierarchy of everybody just because you have a little bit more, I don't even know what, because you think you know. Just do what you're called to do. And leave people alone and let the Holy Spirit work in people how He is working in them. Sitting there saying that, you know, people that, oh, the devil's doing this and the devil's doing that, like as if God, what, does the devil have control over the weather? That's what the pagans think. Pagans attribute power to the god of the sea, the god of the storm, the god of the clouds, the god of thunder. Pagans. A false spirit. It's Zeus, Baal. It's a lying spirit. It doesn't even know God. So get real and marry Jesus, which means put everything that you know on the table and on the altar and let it be burned and let it, He remove it all. So you can be made right. At whatever cost.
Spirit does it.
outside influence. But there is many outside influences, and people are constantly being changed. As soon as you believe 100% that you're infallible, you're already in error. It's pride. That pride and that dignity has to be demolished, right? And it is demolished in people in different ways. I mean, somebody out there who, you know, has no clothes and has no food and no money and has just been, had lived a degraded life, they know what it's like to have no dignity and to really need forgiveness. I mean, they want it. They need it. They know they're a sinner. God can't use you if you don't know that about yourself. But it's those humble ones that come in broken, and they're just wrecked. Their life is, they've come from the dirt, and they know it. They know they're filthy, and they know they're shit, and they know that they need God. And they come in and they're just like, wow, Jesus, really? You know, you're just gonna love me and clean me up. What an amazing God. There's Christians out there that just want to pick at people's sin and pull it out of them and just try to destroy them and demolish them and hurt them. And God will use anyone too. And He used people to, He used Saul and David, and He raised David right up in front of Saul and straight over him. He uses people to raise other people up, and then He just puts them up in front of them. I mean, He does that because we don't listen, we don't repent, we don't change, we just get set in our ways, we think we know everything. And it's just horrible. It's absolutely horrible. And you don't know why people are, I can't even go on about it. It's just like, stop putting your two bobs worth. Oh, just leave people alone and let God do it. Let Him love them the way He loves, because you can't love how God loves. Just let God love people. That's all He wants. He just wants to love them back to life. I mean, they're being destroyed by Satan out there. He wants to love them back to life. And if that's not your heart, then stop talking to people about Jesus. He's not about trying to destroy you. And He'll test you as well. He's trying to bring people in. I mean, who's going to really, He's trying to raise people up and do something in people's lives. And then He gets people to come around. There's no, sometimes people are forced back into the church to get any support because these people out here who are so glory stream are so up themselves that they can't even humble themselves to help somebody who, says the Lord, which means they'll try to devour you. What's devour? That's what something Satan does. But He's talking about God's people. You'll talk to the people of God and they're going to try to devour you. I'll stop them. He doesn't say that. them, just to, as an example, to show the state of Israel and what they carry. He had to sit down in a well, in the dirt. Like, it's obedience to God, right? You just do what he tells you to do, even though it's going to inflict pain on yourself or it's going to hurt you. You do it because God has a plan and he wants to do something regardless. So no matter what it is, like, even though you don't understand it, when you have the word of the Lord and he tells you to do something, you're not trying to weigh it up, take it to your pastor, go to the Bible just to check 100, just to make sure what you heard. Like, you just do it. And if you can't just do it, then he won't be able to fulfill his words through you, because he can't trust that you're going to do it, right? So there is a process to learn how to obey his voice, because he will take you for a season which will teach you how to hear his voice. And he has you doing some crazy things and little things and big things and all different types of things. And if you're faithful with the little, you'll be faithful with much. And it doesn't mean, I mean, for the prideful and the arrogant, they want all. If I look after this little bit of money, he'll give me heaps of money. And some people out there actually think that that's what people are after, but that's their own heart. Their own heart is after the money, and that's why they're seeing it. You know, there's something you're learning in Alcoholics Anonymous, where they say if you spot it, you've got it. And people will go and put everything like that down, but I'm telling you now, a lot of that secular stuff actually has some truth to help you get better. Oh no, now she's just blessing. There's an anointing on that. I'm telling you now. Why? Because they're not deceived with this prideful, arrogant, I'm so spiritual and holy that I have all the answers. God can use anybody and talk through anybody. It was a secular psychologist that told me I've got a call of God to ministry on my life. I was ignoring it. And a secular psychologist told me, I think that you've got that there. But the Christians are trying to tell you, don't know. You're just being prideful. You want to be in ministry. You know? It's a bitterness and an envy. Like, there's enough for everybody. You don't have to be greedy. You don't have to be envious or jealous or sit there and just watch somebody trying to watch them mess up. I just want to watch when they mess up and then catch them. And I'm going to go and try and find all the bad things in their family as well. And I'm going to bring that to the surface. I'll get them. You know, who's that? That's not Jesus. Good, let it all be destroyed and washed off the earth. Amen. Wash it off the earth, God. Oh! Oh! What a siandra! Swept up in his romance of love. And then he'll break you. He will break you. How does he break you? I don't know. Some people might feel like they have to come from the outside to try to help God out. You know, no, that's your pride. That's you trying to do something for God. That's you trying to feel important. But God will break you inside, internally. How does he do it? You have to wait till you get there, but he will break you and he will crush you and he will bring you to a place of desperation and needing him, and a place of your own repentance to him. A love romance, a whirlwind romance, and then he will take you away and he will deal with you, and then he will fill you, and then he will anoint you, and he will give you your mission. It's not complicated. There's no degrees required for any of that to happen. Fair enough, afterwards, you might be allowed to do something like that so you can have information that you need to know what you're talking about. That doesn't make you eating in the tree of knowledge. Tree of knowledge is eating, trying to eat deep things of God to feel more like spiritual. But if you already know that that's who you are, knowledge is actually a good thing. You want knowledge. Know knowledge. Have knowledge. Knowledge and wisdom and understanding is power. And it gives you insight. But people are so deceived and so messed up that they just listen to anybody and follow along. Is it God? What is it? It's off the tip of my tongue. You know, like we all came through the same thing and, well, they've got their role and they've got their role, but I don't have mine, so I'm going to try and, like, be something that I'm not. I don't know. Come on. It's all about love. You got to just love Jesus and actually marry him. Get in the whirlwind romance. And want nothing else. And you'll feel the unction of the Spirit. I mean, he'll come over you and you'll just do what he tells you to do. Go where he goes, he'll train you and disciple you. It's amazing. There's no envy, there's no competition because it's just you and him. And you're just caught up. You're caught up in him, in his heart. And there's no room for anything else in your heart. You don't want anything else, let alone anybody else. It's just him. He consumes your heart. Everything else that's inside of your heart, you're like quickly got to get it out because you just want him to absolutely consume you and take over your heart. Because without that, you've got nothing. And he does that. If you're coming out of Egypt and you're hungry and you just want to be filled and filled and filled and be fed and fed and fed, you know, because the thing that feeds you is his Spirit. The thing that feeds you are the words from the mouth of God. The words that feed you bring you life and energy, and they increase you. They encourage you. They make you know that you who you are in the kingdom, right? That you are his bride, his lover, the warrior of God who overcomes. You overcome. You're overcoming the voices out externally. You're silencing the enemy in all areas and all aspects. The enemy you silence. And your eyes are just, and your affections are towards the Lord. And you're not caring about anybody else's opinions. And anything that you had planned, you set it aside because now you want the will and the plan of God for your life. And so you align yourself with that and you let him lead you down that way. Some things he'll remove permanently, some things he might put back in. But you just do whatever it is at that time. Even though at that minute it might look like you're never going to get that thing back, you let that go because that's good for you. You know, later down the track, he might bring it back, and then you were like, I thought that was gone, maybe I was wrong, blah, blah, blah. But you just continue to have faith and be led like that. We don't get prideful and envious and arrogant and stuck in control systems where we want to have control of our lives. You know, it's about losing our control and letting him have the complete control of our lives at whatever cost. And even though it will make you look foolish to some people, you still do what he told you to do. You speak those words at whatever cost. It does not matter. What's foolish to people is wisdom to God. He knows what he is doing. He knows who he is speaking to. He knows what his words are going out to accomplish. So there is no, it's an audience of one. Always an audience of one. As soon as you're starting to try to impress somebody else, you lose your focus. It's always about him. Affections on him and pleasing him by obeying what he tells you to do, regardless of what it looks like. and he will swoop you up. He will protect you. You will be protected under his wings. And no matter what happens to you, because he doesn't say, I'm going to stop all that stuff happening to you, you will go through things because he uses you to affect other things around. So it does, and it can be painful. You can go through things that you wish you didn't go through, but you go through them because it's for a purpose. I mean, you want to be used by God? Be prepared to be humiliated. Be prepared to look foolish. Be prepared to lose everything. Be prepared to stand for things you don't even want to stand for. Be prepared that hell will start shaking its fist at you because all of a sudden you're standing for God. And when you stand for God, everything comes at you to try to manifest and try to scare you and shake you. But you don't, because you're caught up in the love affair. And that's your only purpose, to be in love with him. And when you're in love with him, you'll do anything for him. If your whole heart is surrendered to him, you are infatuated, in love, overcome, immersed in his love. It's just his love. Nothing else matters. He takes that from you, you're dead. That's how it's going to be. It's going to be life or death. It's got to be life or death. The love of God, marry Jesus. Look, sometimes I have to do things in the natural to as symbolic or whatever, prophetic, symbolic. It just shows, stewarding the things that he gives you. I mean, you want to seek God, you want to know God, or you just want to be the one that knows everything. I mean, you get in and you search out the things of God. He doesn't just give it to you. You search it out. You seek it out. He'll give you something. And then what do you do with that, right? I mean, you faithfully steward what he gives you. And depending on where your heart is, you're going to be stewarding all different types of things. Some people steward, things, but who cares about that? Because it doesn't get you anywhere. So I don't even need to talk about those people. God deals with everything. It's so incredible. Teaching his voice, he'll take you to teaching his voice and to see how obedient you are in little matters. You are. He knows that you're going to go ahead and say the things that he wants you to say. And there's no, he says, what did he do? Jeremiah, he put a coal on his mouth and then he said, now my words will come out of him, something like that, right? Didn't he say something like that? Where does he say that? Because he says, well, I don't know what to say. And then the Lord put forth his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and all other things that he does. But he put the words in Jeremiah's mouth. So Jeremiah didn't have to know everything. The words were put in his mouth. And happens, and then you look behind and you go, wow, did you do that? Amen, anyway. Thank you, God. You got the counterfeit and you have the real. It's always side by side working. Satan is always counterfeiting what God's doing. There is the two working. So if there's a catching away of the bride, Satan will be trying to catch away a bride for himself. There's a bride of Satan and a bride of Christ. You'll know them by their fruit. They will hate the things that God hates. They will love his laws. They will love his statutes. They will want to live for him. They will want to be immersed in him. They will surrender their lives and say, use me in any way you want to use me, Lord, all of you, none of me. Right? Give me a heart to hear, eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive. Prayed that for years, 3 years, I think, every day, and it was on my fridge. These little things I had to do at the start, like just because I didn't have any insight, but I just wanted more and more of God. And there was just, give me eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive, which means give me a soft heart, because I had a very hard heart. But you pray these things, you know, and he sees your heart, and he sees how much you want it, and how much you don't, and it's about how much you want to be married to him and in love with him and give him more control. Some people just want a little bit of Jesus, but they want to control their own, still have their own will. You can't have your own will, because your will is human and his is spirit. He is spirit, and his will is nothing like your will. You don't want to be self-willed, self-seeking, self-pleasing, self-sacrificing. You don't want to have any self at all. It's all about him, and that self gets taken out more and more and more, and he will reveal to you. He'll tell you to do things, do those things. Sometimes if you like don't do those things, then there'll be a consequence for that, so then that you can see how important it is, because he wants to get all lies out of you, all sin out of you. He wants to get all darkness. He wants, you know what that is? He wants to get everything out of you where Satan can never come in and torment those areas. And that sets you free. So when he's asking you to do something, it's because he wants to do it for you. It's for the good, right? Loose. Loose. It's for your good. And he just wants to catch you away. So there's a catching away of the bride. Catching away of the bride, and they're both doing it. So you want to make sure that your will is God's will. Because otherwise you can be deceived and be caught away with a different spirit. And you don't want that. Okay, but your desires of your heart show what it is that you're after. Is your desire to be in love and married to God? Or is there part of you that wants to be doing? Is there part of you that wants to be playing some sort of role or part or whatever? It's got to be in love completely. Completely. And then doing the things he asks you to do, whatever the cost. And it doesn't matter how much pain, whatever it inflicts on you, do it. Because he has a plan. And his plan will always go out, and his words will always be fulfilled if that's what he's given you to do. And but there is definitely the false and the real. And so be careful about whose words you're listening to. Really be careful about what you're allowing into your life. I mean, what's become your idols? What really have become an idol? I mean, are we looking for approval from man? Are we allowing man's or woman's words to be set up as a pillar or as an idol for us? Are we going to the Lord? Are we seeking God anymore? I mean, I'm telling you, the Glory Stream believe they are so one with God that they don't even need to seek God on matters anymore, that they just have become God. God, right? It says pray, and when we pray, it's like it's a surrendering, it's a humility, it's a surrendering, because you don't know, and you're still that means you're relying on God. Only God can do it. But I mean, there's a it's It's a praying to him shows that you don't have the answers. You don't know everything. That only he does. And it's like you're coming into a place of surrender. And you're seeking him rather than just looking at something or a situation or a person or a circumstance, and from your own, what you're calling discernment, determining what's right or wrong. And it can be very, very dangerous, because you're literally, looking at something, think you're discerning it, and you're prophesying or wanting to destroy or destroy and judge something because you deem it as evil. And what you're really doing is prophesying that over your own self and life. And that's why he says don't judge, let him be the judge. You just do what you're called to do. And if you don't know what it is you're called to do, you need to marry Jesus and go on a big honeymoon and just really fall in love with him over and over again. Not try to look for someone to come side by side with you, not try to do anything else. It's just be captured in the heart of God and just really like be immersed in his love, and let his love flow through you like a river, and let it pour out of you into other people, and just love people. Heart and integrity, it's all about your heart motive, the motives of your heart. What are the motives of your heart? Because sometimes your motives of your heart will come out, and okay, so you might want to go and feed the poor or do something for somebody with other heart motives, whose heart motives were to get rich, may see that what you're doing, and they might look at that and go, hey, hang on, that's what I used to want to do, so she must have the same heart motives as what I have. But it's not about that. The heart motive can be different, even though that manifestation of what's going on in their lives is something else. Like, do you understand what I mean? I mean, just because somebody wants to feed the poor and love people doesn't mean that they have the same heart motives with what you've been dealt with, that God had to deal with you. Hearts are very different. God deals with the heart personally, and he brings those people and he gets them to do things that they need to do. Somebody might never have ever been given somebody a meal before, so God has them do that because that's something that they need to do to overcome an area in their life of selfishness, maybe, or to learn how to surrender some of their time to do something for people that they wouldn't normally do. So judging people just because of their actions or their external works or what they're doing out here is incorrect, and it's detrimental to your own walk with God, because now your eyes are on what everybody's doing rather than your eyes on God and getting your heart right with God. It's always about getting your heart right with God. And when things come, when war comes, when trouble comes, you know your heart's right. So you know you're not feeling condemned or shamed. You know what's happening has all been, God has allowed it all for a purpose. And so you're not going into condemnation or shame or bitterness or worry or any of that. You may be afflicted, but you're not hurt. You don't feel like you've done something wrong because you know you've followed God the whole way. Anyway, so it's all about our hearts with God and our heart motives, and not judging by the external. Always judging from what God, like even people, like they will pray for people and then they will come up with people's, what people are in, and then they're like, what do I do with that? Well, then you're in the wrong thing. Stop praying for people, because that's not what Jesus does. Follow Jesus. He's your image. He's who we're meant to be like. I mean, go back to basics. What does Jesus do? Instead of trying to be some high spiritual angel flying through the atmosphere saving everybody's souls, maybe just go back to basics. Like, go and feed the poor and love the person in front of you. Just a simple gospel. Like, love people. If they don't have food, give them food. If they don't have clothes, give them clothes. And love the Lord. Like, maybe just basics for some people, because some people have got so super spiritual that they've actually lost the whole important message of the gospel and the cross, which is the love of God. Oh my God. The internet has so much on it these days that we can really just taking so many words that we don't even know whose words we're receiving. We'll read something and go, oh yeah, and agree with it. And we just take that word inside of our spirits. And it can defile us, and it can cause uncleanness in us. It can even create idols inside of us. It can even be a word, and these people could be, you know, prophesying from Baal, and there we are, we've got these words coming over us now, and we're agreeing with them, and they're molding our lives instead of this. Fake accounts and then pretend to be somebody even though their profile looks pretty good, and then you're believing it and you're letting these people influence your life, and they're wrong. They might believe in God, but they're wrong, because if they're lying, they're already allowing themselves to be fathered by a lie, because God can't lie. So there's already deception there straight away, immediately. And you'll be free immediately as soon as you stop lying in any area. Every lie that you have going on, no matter what you think you're doing, you're trying to, you know, get spirits to manifest in people, whatever you're trying to do, whatever it is, you know, whatever lie you're trying to tell yourself to keep yourself in that stuff, so, you know, other things keep, because if you take one down, then it's all going to come down, and then you're going to lose this and lose that, and whatever. I just know what gets me free, and that's having nothing to do with a lie in any sense. Get free from it. And it's not that nobody has lied, we've all lied, that's the problem. But just in this moment, right now, if you choose right now to turn from all your lies, to turn from everything that, all those lies that you've believed and all those lies that you've taken, if you turn from them right now, you will be completely free. Immediately, they will have to come off you, and you'll be like, you will have so much freedom and love shining through those areas that they hadn't been able to get through before, because the lie had blocked it. Some people might be called to actually to live that. That might be their calling, but that doesn't mean it's everybody's calling, right? Just because one does it doesn't mean they all got to do it. But the Bible will have instances where God places people in their calling, where they've got to do things that, you know, God has them particularly do, but that's ordained. It's kingly leadership, and it's anointed, and it's ordained. But if you haven't been called into that ordination and that kingly leadership, that anointing on that thing, then you're not doing what God's called you to do. You're trying to do what that leader's doing, and you haven't been ordained or anointed to do that exact same thing. You've got a different calling, a different anointing, a different ordination, and you You won't get that while you continue to try to follow somebody else's, especially if you're not meant to be doing that same thing. It's only hindering your destiny and not setting you free to come into what your real destiny is. So really turn from the lie and get free from all that rubbish. Stop doing it is the word of the Lord. Stop doing it. You've been warned. Don't do it anymore. I'm telling you now, don't do it. Preserve me, O Lord. This is Psalm 16. We're going to close after this. Preserve me, O Lord, for in you I put my trust. Amen. Holy Spirit. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my God, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied who hastened after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are your pleasures forevermore. We're reading Psalm 17 as well. Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry, and give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright. You have tested my heart and you have visited me in the night. You have tried me and you found nothing. I have purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men and by the words of your lips, I have kept away the paths of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness, your right by your right hand. O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. From the wicked who oppress me, from the deadly enemies who surround me. They have closed up their fat hearts, with their mouths they speak proudly, and they have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes crouching down to the earth as a lion is eager to tear his prey, and like a young lion lurking in secret places. It's right there, all of it. What are you doing? Arise, O Lord. I mean, what are you doing? Are you walking like Christ or are you walking like that? Arise, O Lord, and confront him. Cast him down. Deliver my life from the wicked with your sword, with your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life and whose belly you fill with your hidden treasures. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their possession for their babes. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Psalm 18. Lord. To the chief musician, the Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day of the Lord, delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul, and he said, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surround me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and I cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. And then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken. because he was angry, smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and he came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub, and he flew, and he flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows, and he scattered the foe. Lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered. And at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. And that's it. We're ending it right there. Okay, thank you, God. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope you guys have a great week. God bless you, and I'll talk to you all next week. Be blessed.